I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There's been a lot of coverage this week about tomorrow's 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. Today, we want to look back, not at the event itself, but at President Kennedy and Cuba. Kennedy was against communism. He presided over the failed Bay of Pigs invasion and the Cuban Missile Crisis. But at the time of his death, Kennedy was actually trying to negotiate a reconciliation with Castro.
Kennedy emerged from the Cuban Missile Crisis, I think, understanding that our policy of aggression towards Cuba could end up being very dangerous in the Cold War.
That's Peter Kornbluh. He directs the Cuba Documentation Project at the National Security Archive at George Washington University.
In the spring of 1963, the Kennedy administration really began a series of ultra-secret contacts with Cuba through a series of emissaries.
How did it all work? I know there was a central figure, James Donovan, who was sent to negotiate the release of Cuban exiles after the Bay of Pigs. How did that all start, this ball rolling?
James Donovan, a famous New York lawyer, picked by the Kennedys to represent them secretly and getting more than 1,000 of the Bay of Pigs prisoners released, really was the first emissary to gain Castro's trust. And Castro wanted to use these talks over prisoner releases to broaden the discussion into an improvement of U.S.-Cuban relations. He actually said, you know, how would we go about this? And Donovan said, you know how porcupines make love? And Castro said, no. And Donovan said, very carefully. And that is how you and the United States will enter into talks about better relations. Donovan was the first emissary, but he actually kind of turned over the baton to an amazing reporter from ABC News, ABC News' first female reporter, Lisa Howard. She was in Cuba in April of 1963 to do the first special on Cuba for ABC. She got Donovan to introduce her to Castro, and she came back and was debriefed by the CIA almost the moment she landed in Miami. And that led to a memorandum that landed on the president's desk saying that Castro wanted a rapprochement, that Lisa Howard could serve as a secret intermediary between the two countries.
The real opening, it seems, though, was coming when a senior U.S. diplomat, Bill Atwood, got involved. Tell us about him and his meetings with Cuba's U.N. ambassador.
Lisa Howard actually employed what I like to call cocktail diplomacy. She used her East 74th Street condominium as a kind of a command and control center for secret diplomacy with Cuba, and she threw a cocktail party in which she invited a lot of New York literati, and she went to the Cuban ambassador at the UN, Carlos Chuga, and said, the United States wants to talk to you. Come to my house for this cocktail party. And with Bill Atwood, she said, I'm going to throw this party. Atwood actually got clearance to go from Robert Kennedy and the White House, and it was at that meeting when the first conversation took place. And interestingly enough, Atwood said to Lechuga at that meeting, you know, it's hard to imagine that we'll get very far because the CIA controls Cuba policy and they're going to oppose this, which of course they did. But throughout the fall of 1963, there were these communications to Castro with the goal of setting up an actual secret meeting. And on November 5th, 1963, Kennedy sits down with his national security advisor, McGeorge Bundy, and his secret taping system picks up their conversation.
Right. So we actually have that tape. Here's Kennedy discussing the mission with McGeorge Bundy, as he said, in a recording you got released in 2003, Peter. Let's hear it.
We'd have to have an explanation why Atwood was there. Otherwise,
we'd have to have it. The only cover plan that makes any sense to me is that this was a Cuban initiative.
And we get Atwood off the payroll. Goes.
It's a little hard to make out, but you can just about hear Kennedy say, can we get him off the payroll? He's talking about Bill Atwood there, the U.S. diplomat. What do you believe they were talking about?
Well, of course, Kennedy is worried about this meeting leaking. And so he wants Atwood to be a private citizen before he goes to Cuba. This is the cover story that this was a private initiative of Atwood's, that he did not represent the United States of America. So he says to Bundy, basically okays the idea of a meeting, but let's get him off the payroll. Let's sanitize him before he goes.
So Castro and Kennedy were on the same page about this without knowing precisely how each other felt about resuming relations?
I think Castro understood also that the missile crisis put Kennedy in a different position and put him in a different position. His patrons, the Soviet Union, had kind of sold him out, withdrawing the missiles without even talking to him. But Cuba always wanted better relations with the United States, and Castro was reaching out at that point. Kennedy, you know, kept another track of CIA covert operations against Castro going, but he began to seriously explore this sweet approach, as the declassified documents call it, in the fall of 1963. And the tempo of the contacts between Cuba and the United States picked up considerably, culminating in the day of his assassination.
Right. Remind us what happened on the day of Kennedy's assassination in Havana.
Kennedy had met with a French journalist named Jean Daniel. He had been brought in by William Atwood. And Jean Daniel talked to Kennedy, interviewed Kennedy. Kennedy said, you know, I think you should carry a message to Castro that I think relations could improve. Jean Daniel was in Cuba on November 22nd. He was having lunch with Fidel Castro discussing this message. Castro was pretty excited about the possibility of Kennedy becoming, as he said, you know, one of the great leaders of the Western world. An aide came in, told Castro that Kennedy had been shot in Dallas, and they listened to the radio and they heard the news that Kennedy was dead. And Fidel Castro turned to Jean Daniel and said, "There goes your mission of peace." And he blamed almost immediately the CIA for killing Kennedy. He knew something, of course, that nobody else knew at that very moment, that he and the president of the United States were moving towards an actual secret meeting in which the U.S. would send an emissary to Cuba to meet with Castro. The agenda for that meeting was actually en route to New York to the Cuban mission from Castro's office at the very moment that Kennedy was killed. And ironically, and this is the true tragedy of the among all the tragedies of Kennedy's assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald, who clearly saw himself as a revolutionary wannabe trying to help the Cuban Revolution by killing Kennedy, actually terminated one of the most significant efforts to improve relations between the United States and Cuba.
Peter Kornbluh directs a Cuba documentation project of the National Security Archive at George Washington University. He's also co-author of the forthcoming Talking with Cuba, The Hidden History of U.S.-Cuba Diplomacy. Peter, thanks very much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Marco.